is August 8th, 2016. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 6.6 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. See, I told you we would be back for weekly shows. This week we have two shows. Allison Fitter will be talking to me in just about 45 to 60 seconds, though probably longer than that, because I always think I'm not going to talk very long, and then I do. She'll be talking to me very quickly. Also, we will be discussing later this week. We'll be talking to Bill Lee, the former pitcher, nicknamed the Spaceman, who is the subject of a new movie coming out on Friday called Spaceman. Josh Duhamel, or Mr. Fergie, plays Bill Lee in the movie. We will not be talking to Mr. Fergie. We will be talking to Mr. Bill Lee later on this week. Also next week, we'll be back with Allison next week, but also next week, I'm very excited. We will have our yearly podcast with Andy Behrens, who's the big fantasy football guy for Yahoo. We do a big, huge yearly podcast based off when Drew Meieri used to do them on Deadspin's podcast. I took Andy from him, and I do them now. Haha, take that, Drew. Congratulations on Drew's new book, by the way, The Hike. You should all go read it. It's good. Anyway, so two podcasts this week. Allison and then Bill Lee, and next week Allison and Andy Behrens, because it's fantasy football season, kind of a thing. Anyway, here is Allison. Allison, hello. I have many questions for you about where you are and what you're doing, but my first question is, if listeners of last week's podcast will remember that you were going to cover, what's the name of the team again?
The Kansas Stars.
The Kansas Stars. You're going to cover the Kansas Stars, which had, you know, some pretty great former players like Roger Clemens, and the only one that really matters to me, Rick Ankiel, and a few other guys roaming around. But the only thing that really matters to you, to me, and our listeners, did you see Drake LaRoche?
I saw Drake LaRoche. You know, it's funny because as soon as I saw him, oh, and by the way, Ankiel was a late scratch, so he's actually not here.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, there have been a lot of
it's almost like retired baseball players are difficult to wrangle in any sort of organized fashion.
Yeah. Well, a lot of guys dropped out because they pulled a few things while trying to get ready for this thing.
Right.
Yeah, so that was part of it. But yes, Drake is here. You know, I saw him. It was just the whole thing is kind of weird because, you know, when you cover something like that from afar, and, you know, we talked a lot about it and we were very critical about the fact that the kid's not in school and just the whole absurdity surrounding the way that the White Sox players reacted, you know, everything. And so then, you know, I'm here and Adam LaRoche is, you know, by the way, a really nice guy. I mean, that was kind of lost in this whole thing. He's actually a really nice guy. And I see little Drake come out and he's got a full uniform on, and on the back it says Drake. It doesn't say LaRoche, it says Drake. And I was like, oh my God. And, you know, it just, all of a sudden I was kind of like, I'm not going to pile on. You know, I mentioned it like in one tweet, like, yes, Drake is here. And, you know, he just seems like such a nice kid. And I'm sure he's probably shell-shocked from like everything that happened. But yes, Drake is here. It's August, so I can't be critical that he's not in school. And I'm just glad that this wasn't a tournament held like in the second week in October. That's all I'm going
to
say.
And to be clear, no one's making fun of Drake LaRoche. He's a kid.
Well,
no,
we
make fun of his father. We make fun of Chris Sale. Make fun of that sort of idea. But I mean, come on, he's a 12-year-old kid. Like the whole point of the whole thing was, adults are supposed to put him in better places than a baseball clubhouse. But
yes.
It's August. This is right. This is what August is for. It's for him to have what I presume is one of several full-on baseball uniforms that Drake LaRoche has that his parents have got for him. Maybe they consider it a school uniform. Who knows? certainly no one is making fun of Drake LaRoche. He seems like a good kid. And yet you're right. Like, I don't think anyone thinks that, that Adam or Andy or whichever one it is necessarily like a bad dude, just that they should have their kids in school and not in a clubhouse. I never thought it's still weird. I know it's an old story now, but it still feels very strange that there was an actual debate about this.
Right. Yeah. No. And that it got to the point where it did. And it was like, I was looking at this, kid who was dubbed like the leader of the team by some of the very upset, sad faced White Sox
Yes.
players as the LaRoches were driving off into the sunset. And I was like, I mean, he's a cute kid and, he was very well behaved, but I didn't get any inspiration from him personally in the, 2 minutes that I was around him. But I'm sure that if you get to know him, then he's a, probably a very uplifting young man.
Listen. I have no doubt that Drake LaRoche, even for all the limitations that come with a 12-year-old, is an undoubtable leader for someone who would cut up a bunch of uniforms rather than to play with them. So, but
That's
hey,
true.
who am I to say? Who am I to say? I am just a grown man, unlike actually Jake LaRoche or Chris Hale. Anyway, okay, so you're having fun. Has that been a fun experience? I understand Roger Clemens was going to be there, but he's not there. He's late there. Basically, a bunch of people are not showing up or showing up late, right?
Well, it's kind of like, yeah, there's like 25 guys and this Kansas Star. So what this is the NBC World Series, the National Baseball Congress World Series. It's an 83-year-old tournament. It takes place at Wichita at an independent league ballpark. It involves 16 teams, and these are college age players. A lot of major leaguers have actually played in this tournament and played in these leagues. So this has been going on for a very long time. Adam LaRoche and Nate Robertson, who are both from the Kansas area, had this idea to put a team together. Wouldn't it be fun? Let's get a bunch of guys together and form a team and play in this tournament. So their games were Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday. And so, yeah, I mean, like, there's very little organization in terms of anybody knowing like who's pitching when. Like, so, it was so funny. Somebody tweeted at me literally like an hour and a half before Saturday's game, like, who's starting tonight? And I was like, I don't know. Nobody knows. Check with me at first pitch. Turned out to be Tim Hudson. We were all very excited about that. It's so, yeah. So Roger's like getting here today, allegedly. He's bringing Toby Keith, allegedly, who is listed on the roster as an infielder wearing number 10, batting right-handed. It's like, it's just one of those things where you just kind of roll with it. But the actual people that comprise this roster, this is not like a beer league softball. Guy had 14 days in the big leagues, and this is the caliber of player that's here. I counted it up. There's 100 and I believe three playoff series between these guys, 30 All-Star games, a couple Silver Sluggers, a Gold Glove, and of course the Cy Young winner Roger Clemens. So, you've got Roy Oswalt and Tim Hudson, Brandon Inge is here. Brett Tomko, just a lot of like really random, just Jack Wilson. I'm gonna be trying to interview him. JD Drew. So it's a pretty impressive list. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Adam LaRoche ended up trying to play Major League Baseball again next year. And I joked to Tim Hudson, I said, I've already had a couple scouts text me and say that they are predicting that you're going to be in spring training with somebody next year. These guys are, Hudson's over 40. There's maybe five or six guys that are over 40. And of course, Clemens is 54. The rest of the team, they're all still in their 30s and they're all, really good shape and they look good. And so they're having a good old time. And it was a fascinating project to be covering this the other night, just to see. They had 6,500 people in the stands. Normally there'll be maybe 700 for any of these games. Packed house. People are very excited. It was a lot of fun.
Well, this seems like a good transition into our second topic this week. Speaking of baseball players that are over 40 and are recently retiring but may want to hang around the game a little bit, Alex Rodriguez is retiring on Friday. Alex Rodriguez, our pal. I think I've made my point on this clear. I like Alex Rodriguez. I cheer for Alex Rodriguez, if just because I know it makes you upset, and that's okay. You are correct. You are sure. I don't think you're correct, but you have a reasonable and quite understandable, and I think definitely the majority opinion on this. I recognize I'm an outlier on this, but to me, Alex Rodriguez is one of the best baseball players I've ever seen play baseball. I think he's the best player between real the baseball effectively wild guys. We're talking about this about he's probably the best player. Again, we can do our PEDs discussions next, but he's the best baseball player on field that transitions, I think, Barry Bonds to Mike Trout. I think he's maybe Albert Pujols is there. It's probably the two of them that are probably right close. But he is, whatever your thoughts about the guy, and many people have many thoughts, we are seeing one of the best baseball players retire basically on Friday night. I'm curious, first off, seeing it, what were your thoughts about it? Are you happy to see him go? Do you have any positive feelings about the guy? Where do you feel on Alex Rodriguez?
Well, first of all, he's not, he was released. I want to, you know, I mean, these semantics are, they make me laugh.
Okay.
Oh, Alex Rodriguez is retiring. We're paying him $27 million next year, but he's retiring. Now he's actually released. And the reason that he's saying he's retired is because like he's done. That's fine. It's to save face. They're going to bring him on as a special instructor. I've seen this, many, many times, throughout baseball when a big name retires and they come on as a special assistant. Fine, whatever. I'm kind of unmoved by the whole thing. Normally when I see a player and he's like announcing his retirement and he gets teary, you know, it chokes me up. It doesn't matter if I've known the guy or if I'm just watching on, you know, MLB Network. Because I understand, like, I have a I get what they're going through, and it's like it's this really, really hard thing, and it's very emotional, it's very sentimental. I felt nothing with him. And when they were, you know, when I was reading the coverage, it was like all the controversial things that have gone on with A-Rod, and I had forgotten. The one thing that probably makes me more mad than anything, and I know this is really weird, it's when Scott Boras decides to announce just as the 2007 World Series is coming to an end. So it's like the ninth inning, the Red Sox are about to sweep the Rockies in Denver, and they announce at that very moment, or not announce, but they leak it to the media that A-Rod is like opting out of his Yankees contract and they'll need to renegotiate. And I was like, how horrible of a human being, how focused on yourself, how narcissistic can you possibly be that you would think that this was remotely acceptable? And so this is, you
For
know.
what it's worth, Ken Rosenthal did report that on the air. It's not like they put like it's not like they jammed in on the frequency of programming and said, "Hey, stop watching the game for a second." Obviously, the people that cover the game thought it was important enough, and it clearly it was. He got the largest contract in baseball history. I agree. That annoyed me too. I just don't know why that's always been exclusively Alex Rodriguez's fault.
Because they did it on purpose at that very moment, because they thought that like that they would be acceptable to take all the attention. Of course you're gonna announce it when you get the information. I mean, you can't hold on to it. You can't sit on anything. Of course that they announced it, but it's just like for him to even think for a second, like, I'm bigger than everything else going on in this industry, in this world. I am the most important person. I have to have the attention on me right this very second. I'm going to try to ruin this moment for other people so that you can be talking about me. So fine, it happened, whatever. The Red Sox won the World Series, everyone moved on. But for, you know, he has been humbled because he has been exposed for being a despicable human and a despicable professional. So he decided not to be despicable anymore. And good for him. And I hope that he goes on to do what he wants to do. If it's broadcasting, I hear that he's just got this great baseball mind, that he loves baseball. But for me to sit here and you know, pay homage to a guy who was artificially enhanced pretty much for his entire career, I'm so over this. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to sit here and have these arguments about, well, you know, this guy, I mean, he had Hall of Fame numbers anyway, and so he should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm like so tired of this. He was dirty. And he was disgusting and he treated people awfully. And if he has this epiphany and he goes on with his life, awesome, great. But for me to be revering him as anything but exactly who he is, like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm over it. I'm not
Well,
doing it.
first off, I'm not sure anyone, whatever like, in a way, this is kind of the perfect Alex Rodriguez way to go out, in that he's not really revered. Like, I think you're seeing people, like, I would argue that people should appreciate the player that he was on the field more than they did. I feel like he was very tone deaf in a public relations sense. Literally, my first piece for New York Magazine when I started was that week where he was having the, I think, pretty obviously fake affair with Madonna. It was just obvious that, like, he was being used by his handlers to try, because he thought, I'm going to be a superstar that's on the cover of GQ and all these things, because he was always very deluded about that stuff. And I agree, he was very stupid about it. But I don't think anyone is, like, he's not going out, really, even like any other superstar we've ever had. The only difference, like Barry Bonds, you could argue Barry Bonds even went out as a little bit of a martyr, because Bonds, even if you didn't like Bonds, Bonds had hits left in his bat. Barry Bonds could have played for a couple more years and been a productive player for someone, but nobody wanted to deal with him. No one's saying that about A-Rod. No one's signing A-Rod. If anyone would have signed A-Rod, the Yankees could have just cut him and he'd be go playing somewhere. He's even said, if someone calls, I'd answer, but nobody's calling A-Rod. He's having a horrible year. He's not really very, he's clearly, like, not, he's not going to make it to 700 home runs. It's not going to happen. So in a way, this is kind of for really one of the greatest baseball players. Again, for all the other stuff off the field and the PEDs stuff, I think there's no question. Lots of I think that it all has to be part of the conversation. But he's definitely not going out as this like beloved character. I think he's going out very quickly. He's going out like all of a sudden, it's like this announcement was made on Sunday and he's gone Friday and that's it. It really feels like the opposite of a I'll take this over a, and this is not a criticism of Derek Jeter, as but I or David Ortiz for that matter, but I will take this over A-Rod's retiring at the end of the year, so let's all go say goodbye to A-Rod at all of these parks. This feels like a compromise. A-Rod has already said he didn't want this. He actually wanted to keep playing, would like to be in the lineup more, and the Yankees just kind of forced his hand and said, "Listen, we're going to release you out of the way. So what are you going to do?" And or we're going to go have this appeal, whether we're going to play you or whether we're gonna, how much we're going to pay you, all of this. This is a compromise I think Alex Rodriguez didn't want. So to have one of these great baseball players go out like this, I have to say, sounds kind of sadly fitting in the way that we can never really, even someone like me who really likes A-Rod as a player and enjoyed watching him play, I have the same conflicts about him, not as strong as you do, but similar conflicts about him as a lot of people have. So it feels like almost right that he's going out, kind of slinking out the back door. They'll give him an ovation on Friday. And listen, they don't win the 2009 World Series without A-Rod. I think of all the things that people get against A-Rod, not being clutch was never one of them. He was awesome in that World Series. He was generally pretty good in the postseason. It's just that A-Rod was so bad at PR and had the PED stuff and was so gross about so much stuff that you just, it was fun to pile on A-Rod in a lot of ways. And I think that's why he's going out like this in a way that is frankly not really befitting of a player of his stature, but probably befitting of the kind of way that he kind of ran his career.
Yeah, I mean that's an objective way of looking at it. It's very fair. I don't hate him or love him. I don't care about him either way, but accountability is like a really big deal with me. And you know, when you lie and you lie and you lie, he gets on, you know, the infamous Katie Couric interview. He lies. He ended up suing like everybody in sight a few years later, the Biogenesis thing. And then, I mean, he admitted that he was doing steroids from as early as 2001. I mean, there's so much. It's just like, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and even try to justify any part of his existence as a Major League Baseball player. He is who he is. He did what he did. He had the career that he did. And now he's gone. And so that's it. But it's like he's getting released from his contract and he's going away. I have no sympathy for anybody who played in that PED era at all. Like, I just don't. And the fact that we want everyone to be held accountable until it comes to some of these so-called heroes that we actually, you know, play, that played for teams that we might be rooting for, and they're all, "Oh no, all, you know, all bets are off, and we're treating them unfairly." And it's like, you know what? You make your bed, dude. I can't behave this way. I don't want to behave this way. But there would be such consequences if I did behave this way. And what, you know, just all of you guys, go away.
Well, first off, I think if you're waiting for PED guys to go away and that conversation to go away in baseball, I'm afraid it's probably not going to end with Alex
No.
Rodriguez.
No.
And I also feel like the Yankees, their ability to distance themselves from A-Rod while still getting all the good stuff that A-Rod brought them has always been kind of irritating for me. I remember I did a story for New York Magazine where I followed Selena Roberts, at the time working for the New York Times, worked for SI for a while, did some stuff for us at Sports on Earth for a while, and she did a book, wrote that book about A-Rod, and that was the one where A-Rod, in one of his more egregious lies, said that like he like came into her house and was stalking her outside of her ha his house, which is a total like dipshit celebrity thing to say that people are outside my house looking for me. Like, it was a complete lie and complete crap and so on. But it's worth noting that I followed her around for her whole first day of her book tour about that book. And this was when A-Rod was good. Like, this is still when A-Rod was producing. He was having MVP seasons. He had kind of overcome, not fully, but he was producing for the Yankees. So therefore, it was amazing to watch all of these New York radio dopes who for years had been hammering A-Rod. And then after this, for years, would absolutely hammer A-Rod. But because this was in that short period of time where the A-Rod was actually productive for the Yankees and they wanted to all move on and just let him be productive, it was amazing to watch the Yankees PR get out ahead of that and just hammer her. and just like say, is it true that you went into his house? Is it true? Why don't you just leave this guy alone? And so the Yankee, and that was all orchestrated by the Yankees. That was absolutely orchestrated by the Yankees. So the idea that the Yankees, like, they were always like, oh no, like Jeter did such wonders for them. They were able to get all the production of A-Rod, but never had to have A-Rod's gross stuff, because like, no, we're the team of Jeter. We're not the team of Alex Rodriguez. We're the team of
Right.
Jeter. And I
Well, they
always,
deserve each other. They all deserve each other. Yeah.
So I always felt like, and I will say, in a pinch like that, if faced between two people that are full of shit, whether it's a team or a player, I will think they are both full of it. But I will also, at least at the very least, I can count on the fact that it was fun to watch Alex Rodriguez play baseball. It was sometimes it was. It was fun for me to watch him. He was really good. He had a flair
Yeah.
for, he had a flair for the dramatic. He would do some sometimes insane things. He clearly drove other players crazy. Like, remember
Yes.
who's the guy that's on ESPN now that looks like the guy from Parks and Recreation, Dallas Braden? And yeah, when he ran across, when A-Rod ran
Yeah.
across his mound, and Braden got so upset. Like, I'm sure players do that all the time, but because it was A-Rod, they got so much so angrier. So
Right.
I don't know.
Because everyone, like, I mean, slapping, trying to slap the ball out of the field in the playoffs, it's like, you're 12, dude, and you suck. That's just what I want. Just go away.
But see, to me, the fun of A-Rod, it was different than Barry Bonds as a villain, because Barry Bonds knew he was a villain, and Barry Bonds enjoyed being a villain, so he
He was
enjoyed.
mean. Yeah, he was actually a mean person,
Yeah,
too.
he was
Yeah.
like a bad dude, but
Yeah.
somehow because of that, Bonds almost got away with it more, because it was just like, oh, I'm a bad guy, everybody hates me, boo, I love your booze, I love your booze. And the problem with A-Rod is it seemed to genuinely hurt him that he was unpopular, and he would keep trying to do these very tone deaf, very stupid, very just fall flat in his face, public relations moves to try to get people to like him. And to me, that was almost, that's why I never enjoyed piling on A-Rod as much as it was fun to pile on Bonds, because he loved it. He loved it. And so with A-Rod, it always felt like it just, he always made it worse for himself, because he never thought of himself as the bad guy and never thought of himself as the heel. He really wanted to be liked, which is why it was ultimately cruel putting him next to Jeter for all of these years, who was not close to the player that A-Rod was. But I mean, certainly a great player, Hall of Famer, not saying otherwise, but like, never put up the numbers that A-Rod did, never put up the production that A-Rod did, but was it was fun rooting for Jeter. It's fun to root for Jeter. It was hard to root for A-Rod, even if you loved him as a player, which is why it brings me back to my original argument. I think it is totally fitting that it's just petering out in like a 4 day. It's Friday. Like, literally the next time, this is the last podcast we will do before Alex Rodriguez retires, and there'll be no fanfare, and there will still be some booze at Yankee Stadium, and it's just a wild way for it all to end.
Yes, I
Yeah, you're
would
with
agree.
me. Yes. So,
Yes.
so well,
He's
what
very insecure. I mean,
exact.
arrogance to me, I've always said arrogance stems from insecurity. And that is who, yes, he was more pathetic than he was, like really hateful. He was pathetic. And I mean, he's been, he's been on his best behavior. I mean, the Yankees writers said for the last 2 years he's been very pleasant. And it's all contrived to me. It's all phony. But good for him. I mean, if I saw him now, and like if he became a part of the media, I mean, I have absolutely no problem with him putting together the next 40 years of his life in a very good, solid way that makes him happy and brings him, I don't want bad things to happen to A-Rod. I just cannot sit here and now reflect upon a guy's career with any kind of reverence when he just with everything that's happened. I'm so over these people. I'm so over this whole thing.
Sorry,
I am
it's
also
never
on my
going
way
away.
to. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to a ballpark tonight to again chase Roger Clemens like he's a Pokemon. So,
Right.
it never ends. It
It
doesn't
doesn't.
really ever end.
It
It's
doesn't.
fine.
Yeah. Your hell, Allison, is in 15 years chasing Alex Rodriguez around the Kansas City Stars senior
Yeah.
league team. I
It
hope
actually
that does not happen.
I would hope that I would probably be able to bestow this assignment on some other young whippersnapper who's dying to do this.
Whoever poor bastard that is. All right, so the last thing, we'll talk about something happy, an older player that's happy, happy story, and that is, of course, Ichiro, who got his 3,000th hit, a triple, fittingly enough, though I was sure it was a homer. As soon as he hit, I think he thought it was too. As soon as he hit the ball, I'm like, oh, that's gone. That's awesome. It's like the Wade Boggs, the guy that doesn't hit homers, hitting a homer on his 3,000th. Didn't quite make it. Still got a triple. I think if he'd have bolted, he might have gotten all the way and inside the Parker, which would have been definitely the perfect way to do it. But Ichiro is a guy. It's funny. I talked about Jeter versus A-Rod. Ichiro is a guy who, I mean, frankly, did not put up the numbers that Alex Rodriguez did. Was not the player that Alex Rodriguez was, but was. Will be so much more beloved and so
yes.
much more beloved even than Jeter. Like, among people that love Jeter, Jeter is the god and everybody loves Jeter and no one dislikes Jeter. But Ichiro, I feel like there's a level of affection that people have for Ichiro that is, if not as widespread as Jeter's, deeper. I think people legitimately love Ichiro. You've seen, like, he does these things with the Negro League Baseball Museum, and he does all these things for retired players. He just has this love for the game that is infectious, joyous. And it's hard to remember a guy who, other than maybe Tony Gwynn and Jeter, when they got their 3,000th hit, just everyone was just universally just so happy for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's played how many years, 15, 16 years in the big leagues. He's never had any controversy. He's always been just extremely reverent to the game, like you say, and a very well-liked guy. I mean, he was kind of hidden because of where he played. But certainly, I mean, just the, you know, getting 250 hits in a season. I mean, just like these ridiculous numbers. I think people are just like marvel at him. They marvel at his build, his, you know, he's just so graceful and fluid. And he was, just, he was so different from, especially in the era that he played in, with all these guys that were just like home run, you know, you either hitting a home run or you're striking out, you're big, you're strong, you're bulky. And then, you know, here comes kind of this like swan that comes in and showed a completely way to play the game, and just amazing. I mean, you think about what kind of numbers he'd have in the hits column if he had started his major league career at 2021. I was just in Kansas City, and George Brett, we were asking him just, you know, his thoughts on Ichiro being a pending 3,000 hit guy, and he said, you know, I started when I was 20. And it took me a really long time to get those 3,000 hits. And just the fact that Ichiro did it in the time that he did is just amazing. And, yeah, I mean, I like it when good things in this game happen to good people. And this is definitely the case.
Yeah, it's also worth noting, too, that Ichiro might play next year. like it's,
yeah,
he's having a really good year. Like, he's again, he's not a starter, and I don't think he should be a starter. The reason he had such a bad year last year was because they played him way too much. But he is having his best season maybe since, look at the chart here, 2010, 2009, maybe this
as a part-time player.
As a part-time player. I don't think he should start. I don't think anyone thinks he should start. I don't think Ichiro thinks he should start. But as a guy that plays, you know, 100 games a year, he's played a little bit more this year than they like, but as a guy that's played 100 games a year and still is very fast and still very rarely strikes out, I don't know. I mean, if the Marlins want him to come back next year, there, you could do a lot worse than Ichiro as a bat off the bench as a pinch runner, could you?
No, yeah, I don't think, I think he wants to keep playing. I don't think that he's really hinted that he has any intentions to retire. And yeah, I mean, I think he'd be very valuable. And the way that he has maintained himself and the care that he has taken of himself, that he is a much younger than, you know, 42 or whatever he is. And so certainly, I mean, there's definitely, you know, value in that. And he would probably be pretty affordable. And he seems to, you know, be embracing his role. I mean, a lot of the problem with a lot of these guys that had these Hall of Fame type careers are just extremely good careers, and they don't want to take a part-time role. And it seems like Ichiro has not had any problem with that at all. And look, he's playing on a contending team, and who knows how much influence he's had on that. So I certainly wouldn't mind seeing him on a team that I was rooting for.
Well, after watching the team that I am rooting for lose, and break my soul and my spirit, and I almost am half rooting for Miami to make the wild card rather than my Cardinals to see Ichiro do it, half rooting the other. Okay, 1% rooting. I'm still dying
for
this stupid Cardinals team. They're so irritating. They lost 2 of 3 at home to Atlanta. Ugh.
Wow. That's bad.
They gave up like 17 runs in 10 innings to Atlanta. It's been a fun weekend. My father turned 67 on Saturday, and his birthday was going to 2 Cardinal games, watching him get pasted by the Braves twice. So I hope he wants to continue to live on, because that was unpleasant.
That's amazing that they lost to the Braves. Well, they're not that good of a team, Will. I mean,
they're
really
not. They're not. I know, and I think we're all kind of accepting that finally. But anyway, all right, well, you could hear my laments about the Cardinals a later time, or if I'm really feeling kind, you won't. So we'll just move on from that. Well, Allison, okay, I think that's probably enough for this week. I wanted to hit those three main topics. Good luck chasing Roger Clemens around. I hope you find him, and I hope he provides you all the joy that Roger Clemens is known for providing people all across the country.
He loves this. Like some of the local writer, one of the local writers was asking me, like, what should we expect from Roger? Is he gonna be like good to deal with? I'm like, oh, he loves this. Like, this is absolutely 100% up his wheelhouse. Like coming to a place like this, smaller city, where all these fans are gonna be adoring him, being able to make this grand entrance. He's gonna wanna talk to the media. He's gonna wanna, perform well in the game that he is, whatever game he's playing in. Maybe he'll play tonight. That would be awesome. But and just to be like, the big fish in the small pond is exactly what Roger is. He's going to be so charming. I love covering stuff like this when he's around, situations like this, because it's fascinating just to watch the whole thing. But this is where he is at his finest. So we'll
Yeah.
see.
All right. Okay. It's nice.
I'm telling you, I love Tim Hudson. Let me just say,
Okay.
Tim Hudson, what a fantastic person. He won 222 games. Like, he is the prototypical definition of a borderline Hall of Famer. He will not be in the Hall of Fame, but he's borderline Hall of Famer. And what a gentleman, what a nice guy. And he was so good to these kids that the stars were playing. They were, making sure that they reached out and really spent a lot of time with these college kids. And just a great ambassador for the game. I wanted to throw that in there.
Of course, of course. And there will be a lot fewer people wanting to talk to him than Roger Clemens, because that's the world we live in. Doggone it.
Oh no, we already talked to Hudson because he pitched on
Yep.
Saturday. So like
Yep.
we
I'm guessing there's more meat. There will be more. You know what I mean. All right, Allison, we'll be back next week. We'll go over this next week, and we'll talk about how emotional you got watching Yankee Stadium on Friday night as Alex Rodriguez said his goodbyes to a.
So he gets a big ovation, right? I mean, is
I
there a
think
lot
so.
of love? This is
Oh, I
gonna be a little
mean,
love.
for what it's worth, there should be. He won the World Series. I mean, they do not win the 2009 World Series without. And listen, you can make an argument that maybe they should have won one or two, and A-Rod cost them. I don't agree with that argument, but you could make that argument. But certainly, I would think it would be. Generally speaking, you've noticed. That's the last thing we'll say on A-Rod. Generally speaking, the last couple of years, you really haven't heard a lot of boos to Alex Rodriguez. He was actually pretty good last year. You just haven't heard. You heard little boos, obviously, the beginning of last season coming off the suspension. But otherwise, I feel like they're ready to move on. I don't think anybody wants to see that all that go out the window. All that negativity be the last thing to go, even if some people might think he deserves it.
I would hope that you would get a very respectful.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. All right, Allison, thank you for coming on. We'll do this next week. Everyone, of course, make sure to follow Allison Futter, AlysonFootter, and find all of the stuff she's writing. Hopefully, go to MLB.com this week and find out if she tracks down Roger Clemens, and we find out just how charming young Roger is. And I assume that, like, everything around him, because it's the thing, he names all of his kids that start with the letter K. That's like his
Right.
thing. Like, I don't know, man. That's something
Kobe,
about
Corey,
that.
Casey, Cody.
Something about that always drove me nuts. That feels like worse than anything A-Rod ever did.
There's so many. There's just so
There's
much.
just
Just
so much. There really
nothing
is. All right, Allison, have a great week. We'll talk next week.
Okay, thanks, Will.